Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series talking about a sure foundation, and this is the beginning of my fourth week on that subject. And I'm going to probably finish up this series by the end of this week. But I tell you, this is a truth that has just changed my life. The Word of God is awesome. And I've been taking the parable out of Mark chapter 4, and there were four different types of people that were exposed to the Word of God. The first one is a person that just didn't have a heart to hear and understand. The Word of God wasn't important to them, and so Satan just stole it from them. There was no chance of it ever working. The second type of person was a person who did enjoy the Word and received it with gladness, but when they got persecuted for it and afflictions came because of their stand on the Word of God, they lost their enthusiasm and confidence in it, and so it didn't produce in their life. The third type of person, which is what I've been talking about the last couple of days, is a person who the Word of God was working in their life. They had overcome the criticism and the rejection of other people, but then they just get so occupied with the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, it enters in and it chokes the Word of God. That's from Mark chapter 4, verse 19. And this is what I've been talking about. And I made a statement on last Friday's broadcast that I want to bring up again, and then I want to defend it and go a little bit further. But I made this statement that you cannot truly put Jesus first in your life without putting the Word of God first in your life. Jesus is the Word. And a person can't truly be committed to Jesus with their whole heart if they aren't committed to the Word of God. And how can you be committed to something that you've never read and you don't even know what it says? You can't just depend upon somebody else to tell you what the Word of God says and just bring out one portion of Scripture and you read it at their direction, but you've never read it for yourself and never put it into context and never shared it or compared it with other passages of Scripture. And so that's a radical statement. And I know that there's a lot of people that would debate that with me about, now, wait a minute, I don't have time to be in the Word the way you do. I'm not a preacher. And, you know, there's just so many objections that come up. But I stand by what I'm saying, that I don't believe that you can truly be committed to Jesus without being committed to the Word that is Jesus, that He's committed to us. And let me just, what I want to do today is to begin to kind of explain how that can happen, because most people think when I'm talking about that you, like for instance, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. See, when you use a scripture like that, most people think, I can't be in the Word day and night. I've got to go work. I've got to raise a family. I've got this to do. I've got that to do. When it's talking about being in the Word, you don't have to necessarily be reading all of the time. And here's what I want to bring out today. There are a number of scriptures. Let me just use one over here out of Psalms chapter 5. This is a scripture that the Lord spoke to me supernaturally back in the very beginning of my walk with Him. But in Psalms chapter 5 and in verse 1, it says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." Man, there's a lot of things in those verses, but just look in that first verse. It says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation." It's putting meditation and His words together. And then the very next verse says, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry." Why would He put in meditation here and in the midst of something talking about prayer, hearing my words, hearing my cry, hearing my plea? It's because meditation on the things of God is prayer. It is seeking the Lord. It is being in relationship with God. And, you know, I haven't got time. I'm not going to take the time to go into all of this and explain it to you. But There are people who use meditation wrong, such as Eastern meditation, where you just try and empty your mind and become nothingness and one with the nothingness that's in the world. That's stupid. Forgive me for being blunt, but that is, I mean, how dumb can you get and still breathe? Amen. That's not what I'm talking about. But here's what meditation is from a scriptural perspective. Meditation is just being occupied with, focused on the things of God. And of course, the things of God have been revealed to us through the Word of God. So meditation on the Word is just simply taking a truth from God. And then you just meditate on it. Again, I could spend a lot of time explaining what meditation is, but meditation is just focused on something, being preoccupied with something, meditating on it. Here's what I do. I can't spend all day long reading the Bible any more than most of you can. But you know what I do? I read the Bible as much as I possibly can. I study it as much as I can. And then when I am driving back and forth to work, at the moment it's an hour's drive one way for me to come into the office. When I'm driving in, I'll either be playing some music that is taking the truths of God's Word and amplifying them and talking about it, and I'll be singing songs about the Word of God, or often I'll listen to the Scriptures play as I come in, or I'll listen to a tape or something. But as I'm driving in, I'm keeping my mind stayed upon the Lord. And even as I'm going about things during the day, I take the truths that I've been meditating on. Like right now, I could tell you exactly what I studied for 2 or 3 hours last night, because I study those things, I go to sleep, I think about it, I meditate it. I often dream about the Word while I'm asleep. I know many of you think I'm weird. Well, I think you're weird. Amen? I believe that this is the way that God made us to be. Again, He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of our mouth, but we shall meditate therein day and night. I don't believe that me keeping my mind stayed on God and loving God with my whole heart is weird at all. I think that the people who don't do that are weird. Amen. I'm not upset with you. I'm just trying to tell you that we're so far removed from what God intended us to be that most people, they aren't going to the Word of God, and they aren't letting the Word of God set the tone and set the standards about what things are supposed to be. They just are looking around at the average person out here who's having multiple affairs and doing all of these things and thinking that this is normal. And so if I just do a little bit better than them, I must be doing great. We don't even use the Word of God as a plumb line anymore. But I'm telling you that this is the way that God intended us to be. And so I'll study things and meditate on them. But then during today, I'll come up with questions as I study the Word. Or maybe the Lord will just speak something to me out of the Word that is really powerful. And you know what? The next day, the next 2 or 3 days, hopefully the rest of my life, I'll take those truths that God spoke to me and I'll just be thinking about them. I'll be meditating. I may be driving down the road, and I may be watching other things and totally, you know, committed to driving safely. I'm not saying that I'm sitting here off in la-la land somewhere, but my mind is never off of the Word. I'm meditating in it day and night. I was at a meeting with some city leaders just a couple of days ago, and here they were talking about things, and I was listening, and I interacted with them. I mean, these are city leaders that have sway over what we can do and can't do. And we were talking to them. I'm not saying I wasn't listening to them, but you know what? In my heart, I was just praising God. And you know what I was actually thinking? I've lived in that area for now 30 years. And there was a guy there that was on the city council who is a president of a bank. And I remember that I tried to go and get a house loan and a car loan from that exact guy's bank. Now, I didn't tell him any of this, but and he probably wasn't there back 20-something years ago. But we were in such financial straits and stuff that we tried to get a car loan and a house loan and things, and they told us, man, we wouldn't give you money for anything. You are a risk. They wanted nothing to do with us and basically told us to leave. And we left his bank 25, 30 years ago because they didn't want anything to do with us. And here I am now, and they were coming to me, and he asked me, could we use your name to advertise in our city stuff? And now they are seeing the prosperity and the blessing. And while we were discussing all of this, you know what I was doing? I was sitting there thinking, man, the Word of God works. I was thinking about how that God has taken us to where these people in those situations wouldn't have anything to do with us, and now they are coming and asking for our favor. And you know what? I was meditating on the Word. I didn't say anything to anybody. This is the first time I've let it be known what I was thinking. But this is what I was thinking. I was sitting there in a meeting. I was taking care of business. I was doing things, but I was just thinking about, boy, how the Word of God works. The Word of God. If you will humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, He will exalt you in due time. I was meditating on Scripture. See, that's being in the Word. So I'm saying all of this to say that when I'm talking about how you have to put the Word first, if you claim that you are putting Jesus first in your life, you can't do that without putting the Word first. Immediately, some people think, well, you mean I just got to be studying the Bible and reading 24 hours a day? No, if you've got kids, God wants you to take care of your kids. God wants you to take care of your family. God wants you to go to work. God, there's other things you need to do, but you do need to spend time studying the Word. And then what you have studied, you need to take that and learn how to meditate on it day and night and get to where it's never out of your heart, to where you never uproot that seed. And then you go back the next day and try and plant it again. No, you just get the Word in your heart, and it influences all of your thoughts. It influences all of your actions. Even though you're doing other things and still at work, and even though you're with your family and other things, you still are letting the Word of God dominate you. You can meditate in it day and night, is what the Scripture says. Now, let me just put this piece of advice in there, that when you first get started, you can't meditate on something that you've never read or studied. And so, in the beginning of your relationship with the Lord, the vast majority of your time in the Word is going to be reading, because you can't meditate on something that you haven't, first of all, read or studied or thought about. But as you grow in the Lord, you can literally take the things that you've read and the things that you've been studying, and you can be in the Word during the day by just meditating on them. Let me give you some examples here that, you know, meditation is an ability to see things in your heart. For instance, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, it talks about David fighting Goliath. And, you know, the way some people just read that and they let it go. And they think, oh, I've heard that, and I know the story that David killed Goliath. But they didn't take those Scriptures verse by verse and meditate on it. And the word meditate means you just focus on it. You think about it. It's like you take something and you look at it from every possible angle. You look at it from the underside and the top, and you look behind it. And you just take truths from God's Word and you meditate on it to the point that you begin to start getting greater and greater and greater understanding. For instance, in my life, I remember when I first got started in my walk with the Lord. I read that passage out of 1 Samuel chapter 17 about David fighting Goliath, and it told about how big Goliath was. Well, see, most people just read that, and it puts it in cubits and in spans and things like this, and to the average person, they say, well, I don't know what that means, and so you don't even think about it. You don't meditate on it. You need to go look it up and find out how tall he was. And there's varying amounts. You know, people interpret this differently. Some people say he was a minimum of around 7-something feet. And you got to remember, at that time, the Jews, all people really have started growing taller. We're taller than we used to be 100 or 200 years ago. Back in those times, Jews were very small. Probably David was less than 5 feet tall, or probably not over 5 foot tall. So if Goliath was only 7 foot, he was still a giant. But most people believe that Goliath was around 9 foot 6 to 9 foot 10. You know what I did when I started meditating on this? I looked those up. I found those figures. I went out on a tree and I marked 9'6". And then I bent down some so that I could kind of see how tall that would be from David's perspective. And what I was doing, see, I was trying to picture this in my heart, not just get a piece of information, but I was trying to see things the way that David would have seen it. And I know some of you think, well, man, that seems like a lot of effort. But I have gotten so much out of this. Like, I could preach out of 1 Samuel chapter 17 for weeks. I mean, weeks. For instance, David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You know what the significance is? Now, see, again, if you just read that and don't think about it, meditate on it, you won't get this out of it. But when he says uncircumcised Philistine, he was referring to the fact that the Jews had a covenant with God that was symbolized through this act of circumcision. And Goliath didn't have a covenant with God. So in other words, he's saying, who is this guy that doesn't have any promises from God, who doesn't have a covenant to stand on with God, that he should defy somebody who does have a covenant? You know what David was doing? He was basically saying, I've been in the Word. I've got promises. I know what God says. He was basing his ability to go out and fight this Philistine, not based on the height of his stature, not based on physical, natural things, but he had a covenant with God. Every one of us have a covenant with God. And the truth is that you may not have the same amount of degrees that somebody else in your business has. You may not have the same charisma. You may not have as fancy a clothes as they've got. But if you've got a relationship with God, if you've got the promises of God, you ought to be able to go and overcome those that have all of the greater natural ability and all of these things if you just drew on your covenant with God. Like I said, I could preach on that for hours, but that is a tremendous truth. And then when he finally went before Saul and was trying to make his case about, I can go fight this Philistine, Saul said, you can't fight this man. He's a man of war from his youth, and you're but a youth. And you know what David said? He said, when I kept my father's sheep on the backside of the desert, a lion and a bear came out and tried to take one of the sheep. And he says, I went out and with my bare hands slew both the lion and the bear. And he says, this uncircumcised Philistine, once again referring to the fact that he didn't have the covenant with God, this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them to me, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Now, here's some other things, see, that you get as you think about this, as you just roll it over and over. You don't just read it, but you think about it and think about it. You know what he was saying? He was faithful with just a few little sheep on the backside of the desert when nobody was watching. And even though his father wanted him to protect the sheep, I don't think that his father, Jesse, would have wanted him to put his life at risk. I mean, if you tried to shoo away the lion and the bear, if you threw something at them, and if they started coming after you, most fathers would say, look, let them have a sheep, but don't give your life. But David took his responsibility so seriously, and by this time he had already been anointed by God to be a king, that he took that anointing that was on his life, and with his bare hands he killed a lion and a bear. Most people, see, wouldn't put their life at risk when there's nobody there to notice, when there's nothing big on the line. Most people would wait until the grandstands are full, and then they want to go out and fight Goliath and overcome and win this battle when there are thousands and millions of people watching so that they can get all of the acclaim. But if David hadn't have been faithful in the little things when nobody was watching, he wouldn't have had the boldness and the confidence to stand when the grandstands were full and he was fighting this giant. Now, see, you get all of this by taking Scripture, and instead of just reading it, you take every verse and you think, why does it say this? For instance, Saul wanted to put his armor upon David, and David put it on, but it was so big. Saul was the biggest man in the nation. David was a runt. I bet you David could have probably flipped around inside of that armor without it ever moving. Amen. He put it on, but finally he put it off, and he says, I haven't proven this. Boy, there's a great lesson in that. See, if you just stop and think about this, what does this mean? This means that what works for other people may not work for you. You have to go with what you've proven. You have to go with what's working in your life. You can't base your life off of the way everybody else has done it. You need to have your own personal relationship with God and then take the things that are working in your life and base your life on it. And on I could go. There's just so much in here. It says that David stood upon Goliath after he had knocked him down and took Goliath's own sword out and cut his head off and held it up. And it wasn't until he severed Goliath's head that the Philistines fled and that they won the battle. See, here's something else I've gained by meditating on this. There's a lot of people that will fight the enemy to a degree that they knock him to the ground. But you've got to just literally kill him. You got to decapitate him. Those other Philistines that were looking on the mountains, they didn't know that Goliath maybe hadn't just fallen down and he was hurt, but he would get up and fight again. They didn't flee until they saw David cut his head off, and it was only then that they realized they had lost and they fled. There's a lot of us that'll only fight the devil to a degree. We'll fight something like cancer because we know it's a life and death thing, but man, you won't fight the cold. You won't fight the flu. You will allow sickness to hang around and bother you because it's not that big of a deal. You need to get to where you hate the enemy, to where you literally destroy the enemy. You don't just chase him out of sight over a hill so that he can come back and fight you again someday. You need to get to the place that, man, I am giving no quarter to the devil. I am not submitting unto him in any way. And you chase him until you kill him, until you cut his head off, until you stop this thing that he's trying to do in your life. See, all of those things are in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and much, much more. So you need to meditate in the Word. The point I'm making is, see, that you can't be reading the Bible 24 hours a day. That's true. You can't be a productive person and just read the Bible 24 hours a day. You might do that for a season. I did it for a period of time and for months and months. I read 10 to 15 hours a day. And praise God, if you're in a situation where you can do that, do it. It'll serve you well later on. But that'll only be a season of your life. God doesn't want you to spend 10 to 15 hours of every day for all of your life just reading the Bible. You do have to read it before you can meditate on it, but then after you begin to get a basic understanding of the Word, you can be in the Word 24 hours a day. You can keep your mind stayed on God, not always by just reading, but take the things that you've read and then meditate on it. Go through your day doing that. And see, if you do that, then you know what you're doing? You are doing the opposite of what this is speaking against in Mark chapter 4 and verse 19. It says that the cares of the life, of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things enter in, and it chokes the Word. We can become so occupied with just living that we literally don't keep our mind stayed on the things of God, and we let them slip. But you can take the Word of God and study it as much as you can, but then you can get to where you are meditating on it. And you could take, you know, just the things that I've said today. Most of you are watching this program early in the morning. I encourage you to take the few little things I said about David and Goliath, and through this day, go through your day, and even though you're at a job, even though you're working with your kids or whatever it is that you're doing, think about David and Goliath. If you have time before you go to work or before you leave, read 1 Samuel chapter 17. And then during the day, just think about it. God, why did he do this? Why did it say this? Think about it. And I guarantee you, God will start showing you things and there will be opportunities for you to apply that to your life and it'll change you. I'm out of time today, but I do encourage you to listen to our announcer as he gives you some information about how you can get these materials. And please take advantage of them. This would help you. So call or write today, and then be sure and join me again as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, A Sure Foundation, is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Make sure to specify whether you want the CD or DVD album when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third teaching in the Sure Foundation series titled, The Sower Sows the Seed, is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this third CD free of charge when you write or call. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
Once again, let me direct you to our website. It's a great website. Like I said, we have 19,000 visits per day to our website. And we have over 2,000 of my television programs that are archived, about 8,000 of my radio programs. They're all listed, indexed according to topic, so that you could get topical teaching on that. I also have books, magazine articles there, just a wealth of information. You can download over 300 of my teachings free of charge. It is a tremendous site. I guarantee you it'll help you get in the Word. So we have the website right there on the screen. I encourage you to check it out today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance next week, January 28th through the 30th. In Orlando, Florida, for a Gospel Truth Seminar, February 4th through the 6th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, February 7th. He'll also be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, March 3rd through the 5th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th, and in Atlanta, Georgia, April 15th through the 17th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. How can Charis Bible College impact you?
There's a lot of good things.
I didn't know some of the things I believed were wrong.
Enlightening, just knowing the truth.
That it's not what we do, but what Jesus did for us.
That it's all about knowing Him.
Being closer to Him, knowing Him more intimately.
It's really transforming me as who I am as a person.
His love for us is unconditional.
And God actually loves me, and He's not even mad with me.
And that has become so real to me.
And it has really set me free.
Go to our website at awmi.net and click on the Bible College link or call our helpline at 719-635-1111 to find out about our Colorado Springs location, extension schools, and night school possibilities.
So as I've seen Him, I've been able to see who I really am.
I'm not even trying to, and He's changed me. It's been awesome.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
This is one of the main points that God has shown me through this parable. Four different types of people that were exposed to the Word. You know, the one that brought forth the most fruit, or the only one here in this parable that brought forth fruit, it wasn't the one that had more.